are those words that we have sung in that verse there, since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, enjoy the pain, endure the pain, supported by thy word. The subject tonight is progressing in this thoughts of discipleship and what it means to follow our Lord. And tonight I want us to consider the subject of fruitfulness. And if we are to be fruitful, then indeed we are going to be engaged in some spiritual warfare. Turn with me first of all, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we'll read a few words there together. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And begin to read at verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Letter to Corinthians, first letter to Corinthians in chapter 12. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, verse 1, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but in the same God who worketh all in all. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not an hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Finally, for a short reading in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, unto which I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Pray God's blessing on the preaching, on the reading of his precious word. The subject of fruitfulness is often encapsulated in that quite well-known verse in Galatians 5, where we have the string of the aspects of the gift of the Holy Spirit called the fruit, singular, but many facets of it. But tonight I want to investigate a little more deeply and widely something of this whole subject of fruitfulness, which if we are Christ's, if we are his servants or his disciples, then it is necessary for it to be seen, as by their fruits shall they be known. First of all, there is that freedom in which we enjoy being fruitful. John 8:36 tells me, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That is a tremendous verse, isn't it? And as we see in the Haven and back home in England, guys coming out, and girls too, of the bondage of sin. It is beautiful these days in which it seems rare to see such things happening. To see men having walked such dark paths, to be busted open so beautifully free, is such a testimony to the still the power, the releasing power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one guy who came into the Haven, he was in a little while, I went back to the UK, came back next time, and I preached here that night, and as he came out, I didn't really recognize him, and suddenly he laughed. And it was only the tone of his voice that I recognized him. He was so different from the wretched life, from the sorrow and the anger and the sadness in his face and his character. And he was totally transformed. And I said, how are you? He said, I don't know. He said, but if it gets anything better than this, I'm going to bust. The joy of what God had released him from and released him for. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is interesting, isn't it? First of all, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But I'm sure you will remember that the Lord himself said, he said, if you take on my yoke and you learn of me. So is there a paradox then in this business of freedom? There could be, depending on the way in which you look at it. Because you see, if we were to recite, as I trust we have, Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To name, with the help of the Spirit, as we have discovered in our readings tonight, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, then we are submitting ourselves to that one whose name is Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. So yes, we have freedom from the old bondage, but we come into the bondage of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, it is a strange thing to say, but you know, in that bondage, we have complete freedom, don't we? In fact, as we submit our lives to Christ, he will see that in his care, we are free. And listen here, who knows better about freedom than our Lord Jesus Christ? And so it is imperative, I do believe, that if we are indeed going to be free in our life, we cease fighting against our Lord, and we allow him to lead us in the freedom of his yoke. But isn't it oh so easy to drift back into some of those bondages, as we have seen some do just that, run well for a time, but inconsistency and inconsistent walk with the Lord will reap back some of those old traits, some of those old bondages, some of those old captivating habits that we cannot release ourselves from. You'll remember too in Exodus 21, the servant who did not want to be released because he loved his master, he was taken to the door, and with an awl it pierced his ear. Now we live in a strange day these days, don't we? As you look around, there's ladies with chandeliers hanging off each earlobe, you know? And I say to myself, is that evidence of the fact that they are sort of a servant tied to their lord and master? To look at the rest of the apparel, there's great doubt. And you even see the men wearing them these days. That's the only reason I haven't got one big enough, I don't know. But when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ and our servitude to him, he doesn't need any external exhibition, does it? Or PSCs or anything else. He's that contrite heart, isn't it? Acknowledging that freedom from what we have been freed from. And we have all been freed from something or other, haven't we? And for the continuance of that freedom that we enjoy, as long as we walk with him in servitude and in freedom. I believe the whole secret to it all, discipleship is that word obedience. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, that from the doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. There again, you get those two words, freedom and servants and obedience, all three in there together. Freedom, yet under the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek, I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. What a beautiful verse to garrison our hearts with in this world which we would prefer to jump off and get off its roundabout with all its pace and its pressures and everything else. But here is one who offers a yoke. Learn of me. Learn of me who is meek, who is lowly in heart. What a lovely disposition to have. And in doing so, then will come that rest. We were speaking the other Wednesday or so concerning peace. If we take that yoke of his upon our shoulders, then indeed we will have that peace, even in bondage of service, through which we can be so fruitful. John 15 would tell us then that we were chosen purely for this reason. John 15 verse 16, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And notice this word, and ordained you, or conceived you, or purposed, or put forth, or set forth you, so that you shall bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I love that little word conceived, as Strong's Concordance suggests, for that word ordained. I have born you again, purely for the purpose of not only freeing you from your bondage, but that you might be fruitful. That you might be those who can portray Christ on earth for me today. Surely there's no greater privilege, is there, for the Christian, or who dabbles in the shallows by just knowing as the Lord as the Saviour, as against coming under his Lordship and enjoying the freedom and the joy and the privilege of true service which brings fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Romans 7 verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye may be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Particular word there that really went to my heart in Romans 7 4 there is that word that we should be married. Now, in marriage, there isn't servitude, or there should not be, and if there is, if you'd like to make an appointment, we'll talk about it. In marriage, there shouldn't be servitude to one another. Certainly not of the husband over the wife. But that willingness because of the love bond, and the commitment, and the oneness of the two, there should be that free-flowing desire to live and to serve one another. And when it's done in love, it's a totally different thing, isn't it? I've lived and stayed in many houses in many places. And you know, you can sit at the table and you can discern whether the food was cooked in love or thrown on a plate and delivered on the table. Here, get this down you. Yeah? And it speaks volumes as to the relationship that is going on between the husband and wife. It pervades the home, it pervades the upbringing of the children. And so then when we come to this situation of our marriage with our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the fruit of that marriage? It's a deep searching question, isn't it? Because first of all, we have to look at the marriage before we see the type of fruit, don't we? And perhaps by some of us, and we will admit in our hearts freely,
that the fruit isn't what it is expected to be because the marriage isn't how it ought to be either. And we need to seek counsel of that one who can help us in that area. And so we come to this point. Are we worried about the lack of fruit in our life? You see, I do believe there are two compartments of our fruitful lives. Two compartments of our lives so rendered to the service and the servitude of God to be, in order to be fruitful. There is our spiritual life, seen on mainly on Wednesdays from 7:30 till the speaker shuts up, and then again on Sundays from as early as you have to get there, till as soon as you can get out of church on Sunday night. And then possibly, if called upon, well, we will see what we can do. And then, of course, there's those other areas of our life which could be named as religious, or could be our occupation, our career, or our materialistic desire or fulfillment. But they are lives that are undiagnosed by the Holy Spirit. We do not permit Him to venture into those areas. It is no-go land for the Holy Spirit. And also there are those undisciplined areas, which I suggest are one and the same. And it is not possible, I believe, for us to be totally fruitful until every area and compartment of our life is brought under that searchlight of the Holy Spirit. And it can be totally unconscious, our efforts to restrict the Lord in some areas of our life. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We may not view it as wicked, but that is just it. Under the Holy Spirit's light, it is wicked. We are under bondage to what we serve. And in our daily life, while we are serving something that is other than what we should be serving, then we are sliding back into an old form of bondage, aren't we? And it isn't that total occupation by our body, soul, and mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our fruit isn't as much and as profitable to our Lord Jesus Christ. This will arrive or finish up with wasted energies, frustrated efforts, and it will not bring the full blessing that we can be in our lives into other lives. Which is tragic, isn't it? It's like stunted growth. And it certainly can't bring much pleasure, can it, to our Lord Jesus Christ. A fruitful soul. Galatians 5 verse 22, as we have been saying. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against that, of course, there is no law. That is the soul. That is the soul. When the soul is right with God, we have a fruitful soul. And these are the fruits of that soul, the many fruits of that soul. You look into Song of Solomon, I think it's 4, is it, or 5, at that secret garden there. And you study the various fruits, the herbs and the fragrances. And the sweet odour of it to the garden keeper was absolutely beautiful. And he stirred it all up and he caused it to waft out over the garden wall to be a blessing to others. Stir up that gift, stir up that fruit of your soul, that it might flow out of your person. Not only the soul, but also the mind. Philippians 4 and verses 8 through 9. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, what to do? To think on these things. There is a tremendous battle for our minds these days, isn't there? Somebody kindly videoed something of the Olympic Games so that I could watch it upstairs there. And the garbage in between the actual sporting events, it's absolutely nauseating. And in the end, you don't know what you watched, a bunch of adverts and all the nonsense are wrapped around it, all the private lives and everything else can do with the athletes, or what little you did actually see of the Olympic Games itself. The battle for the mind. And when you see the servitude that they are under unto their God, their skis or whatever, I ask myself, would I put in that commitment for my Lord Jesus Christ? in order to be so fruitful that I can gain 0.1 of 1 second in front of the next guy? She can laugh. It's serious.
Sure challenge my heart.
That would you would risk body and limb to smash yourself on that ice rink and bust open your chin and your chest just to do a few, you know, pretty little twirls in the air? Or that we may risk ourselves, body, soul and spirit, to be fruitful for the Lord.
And in context with our spiritual living, these things, those things which ye have both learned, received, heard and seen in me. Paul was fruitful, wasn't he?
I wonder if I dare suggest that that could be said of us.
Myself, I'd rather crawl under the pew and be proud enough and arrogant enough to stand up and say, that's me also, wouldn't you? Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. Mind, those who mind fleshly things are indeed fleshly.
But those who mind spiritual things will be spiritually minded, as they will emanate from a spiritual occupation in the soul. And the desire from the soul into the mind will then cause us to concentrate on those things that will produce
fruitfulness. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Jesus Christ.
Can darkness have fellowship with light? Of course not.
Now I can stand here and preach and I can look across your lovely faces and boy, you look all very intelligent tonight. Not too many of you are asleep. Some working on it and some resisting it and fighting it.
But there's one thing I cannot know, and that is truly what is going on in your mind.
And yet the amazing thing is I can know the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing?
And by knowing his mind, I can be fruitful in my daily life and occupation, whatever aspect of my life, I can be fruitful.
But it comes by knowing a soul that is fruitful, a mind that is fruitful, and a mind stayed upon Jehovah is the greatest guarantee of a mature, fruitful, spiritual life. Furthermore, thirdly, fruitful indeed. Colossians 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work.
How can you do good works if your mind and your soul is on something else? Those good works are obvious evidence or fruit, if you like, of what is going on in the mind and in the heart of the individual.
When you see somebody going out of their way to do something for the less fortunate of the world and the community, it is a great blessing to see Christ at work in that life, isn't it? It's music to our ears, isn't it? And I pray also quite a challenge. What about fruitfulness in that gift? As we read of the gifts of the Holy Spirit being given out to this one, that one, and the other. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 reads like this. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
It's one thing to know what your gift is.
Talk about that if time permits a little later. But then to minister it so that it is a blessing to others and use it as a good steward.
We could go and do a lot of that, couldn't we? By bearing our talents and everything else.
But first of all, are we aware of the talents that we have got? And then secondly, are we using them to their full to bring fruit which will be accredited to our account in a reward that is waiting for us up yonder. Furthermore, fifthly, fruitfulness in fellowship. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I remember and will never forget and still hanker for the fellowship and the unity that we enjoyed in the city mission back there in Birmingham. Our gift were very, very different. And some were very difficult to get on with. But I tell you the truth, by the Lord's grace and help, we never ever stopped the work because of disunity.
We were ever highly conscious of the fact that if we were disunited, then we might as well all pack our bags and go home. And we used to work very, very hard on our relationships. And there was 55 of us working together for the Lord. And we respected each other's gifts. And we encouraged each other in their various gifts. And others who had weaker gifts were enhanced and strengthened in their gifts by the help of others. And we would move across into one another's ministry as we saw the need and we were able to help them in their ministry. There was tremendous encouragement and blessing and maturity. And the fellowship, I can tell you, is very, very deep. How I love some of those brethren and those sisters that are working there in the city of Birmingham tonight. Probably gone to bed now. It's 5 hours on for them, isn't it? You know what I mean. And I wonder if that same entity is here. Are we focused on our own selfish desires, or are we focused on the abilities of one another? Are we just anxious to see their gifts matured, enhanced, enlarged, developed? Or are we jealous of their gifts? Well, that's one sure way of destroying fruitfulness, isn't it? Especially in the church. Become jealous of somebody else's gift. What is the point? Because that person can't do the thing that you are gifted to do. In which case, then, his gift will never be done properly and yours won't even get started. Ah, that we might really lay hold of the Lord and seek out the gifts that we have and to use them, and to need to use them, we also need power to be fruitful. Ephesians 1:18, verse 18-20 reminds us of that exceeding great power to usward who believe, according to the power he used to raise Christ from the dead. Not only do we have God's power in that respect, but we also have the residence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Literally then, we must be living in the Spirit to be productive and have the power of the Spirit in our life as well. And there's 5 areas, very quickly as time has virtually gone, that we need to think of, perhaps, take home as homework and develop in our hearts and minds. In order to be fruitful, we need to have power in our inner life. Ephesians 3:16. I don't know whether you've ever done a study on the 3:16s of the New Testament books. It's a very rewarding study. And get them all in sort of progression from salvation through to maturity. It's a beautiful little study, the 3:16s of the New Testament. But Ephesians 3:16, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner life. The inner being is our seat of power, and it's the generator of our spiritual nature. And it is the seedbed also of any fruitfulness that is going to come out of our life. We need to receive the deep things of God in our heart, which we bring from his word by his Spirit. Secondly, power to believe him. Here we have again that gift of God of faith, to trust and to believe and to hope for positively and to walk in faith and to diligently seek him in order that he might bless us and reap the rewards of fruitfulness from our faithful walk with him. Power to witness. 12 disciples, they were timidly locked up, weren't they, in that room after the resurrection. They were like a bunch of scared little rabbits gone down a hole, never to see daylight again. And then comes the Lord and he breathes peace, doesn't he, and the Holy Spirit upon them, and they go busting out of that room. They turn the world upside down. Wow, what fruitfulness. And often it is, isn't it, that we are restricted to our own abilities or our own thought of what we are able to do. I certainly know that if somebody had said to me when I was 19, when I was so shy and so introvert that I was almost too embarrassed to ask a young lady to go out with me and date me, that I would be doing what I've done around the world, I would never have believed it. But I just thank God that he took me by the ear and he threw me down that road. And somehow or other I followed him. And the great joy of God being able to enlarge our coast, enlarge our vision, and give us an experience and a vision and a burden of himself, so our lives may be for his glory. Fourthly, a power in gift and ministry. The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7, is given to every man to profit. Oh yeah, we're pretty keen, aren't we, on making a profit in the business world. Can't get there quick enough Monday morning to start the ball rolling all over again. But after Sunday, the prophet that we ought to be interested in ought to be that of a fruitful spiritual prophet, shouldn't it? Called to be channels to flow out in grace, to encourage, to strengthen, and make bold. You know, as this power goes out, it'll need to be recharged. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said when he performed that miracle of that dear lady, as she touched the hem of his garment, what happened, he says? And he said, now come on, Lord, you know, all this crowd around you and everything else, don't be too sort of ridiculous. What do you mean power went out of you? All these people pressing you and everything else? No. He was sensitive to one who had touched in faith. And her faith had brought forth fruit. And what a testimony in her own life. I guess she'd hoped to creep in there without being seen, stick the top of his garment there and nick out quick before anybody saw him. And our Lord, you know, he knows how shy we are, and he wants to encourage faith. But our faith did go out of him, and that faith, that power did go out of him, and it will go out of us. And we need very, very much so to continue to be fruitful, to recharge our inner man, recharge our mind with the Word of God. We cannot go on the credit of other people's prayers. I know a guy who was in ministry, and the Lord very graciously blessed his ministry. And he told me he had no time to pray because he was so busy. And he had a list of over 200 prayer partners who he relied upon their prayers to do his work. I know been so disgusting for a long time. You know, if we don't pray to God, we have no relationship with God, do we? How can we serve God unless we have that inner relationship with God, our spirit, communing with his spirit? And finally, that fifth one, power in spiritual warfare. Yes, to be fruitful is going to be a battle. There is another five things concerning wisdom that I'd like to have brought to you, but time has completely gone. I want to keep faith with you, and I don't want to get thrown out quite just yet. But think of these things. To be fruitful, we need that power. We need that wisdom, and we need that freedom, and we need that choice. Which God are we serving during the week? Which God are we serving on Sundays? Unless he has us totally, then he cannot use us, can he? For fruitfulness, for whom we have been chosen, and chosen for his glory. Shall we pray?